Genesis chapter 14. We'll begin reading. I'm going to read just a few more verses than I normally do, just so we can kind of get the story of what's going on. We're going to look at another name of God this evening, and as the Lord has led us this direction, we hope that this is probably one of my favorites of all that I've preached, just because it shows us where God should be in our lives. And we say that a lot. We say God should be first place. But can I just be honest as a pastor and as one that is very observant? He ain't first place in a lot of people's lives. Okay, well, I might be the only one that sees that. But I know we get off kilter sometimes. We do things that are mistakes. We go by our own will. And God allows us to do that, and he reels us back in. But I'm telling you, there are certain blessings and certain benefits of being a child of God when, of course, you have Jesus, but when Jesus has you. There's a big difference. And when God has first place in your life, when he has everything, Bub, when he has everything, when you basically say, Lord, here's my life, and you mean it. You may not have all what the world would say are possessions, but when you have Jesus, when you have God, and who we're going to talk about, the Lord Most High tonight, when he is first place in your life, there are certain blessings that no one else can have but you, the people that have God first place in their life. And we're going to see that this evening. I'm already feeling pretty good, and I haven't even got to the message. Okay, verse 12. Let's start there real quick. We'll read this real quick. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and the brother of Aner, and those that were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So we see that Abram is victorious. He goes back, takes what the enemy's stolen, and brings it back home, okay? So here's what happens. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Hardword. I tried my best all week long to pronounce that correctly, and I cannot do it. So I'm just going to say Hardword. And of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now we know, let me stop there. Melchizedek is an image of Christ, a prophetic look into Jesus Christ. So put that in your mind, and let's read that again. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And now here's Abram's response. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he, meaning Abram, gave him tithes of all. I want to repeat that. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Now he's talking about what all he brought back from this spoil. He's saying, you know, just give me the people, and you can have the goods. You can keep the worldly stuff. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God. Here it is again. The possessor of heaven and earth. That I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet. And that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Okay, so let's stop there. Here's what's happening. Let me start off by saying this. The things that we hold dearest to our heart is what we really hold the highest in our life. What we esteem to be the desires of our heart and the devotions of our heart, basically out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so many people can talk and say God is most high in their life, but really actions speak so much louder than words when it comes to that statement. There are people, men and women, that have bravely given their lives because they devoted and sacrificed their life for this great country we call America. And they felt such devotion and they held our country at such high esteem that they willingly gave their life in order for us to have freedom today. Would you agree with that? There are families, there are parents that have died to save their children because they held them in high esteem and they loved them that much. You can really tell what a man or woman holds highest in their hearts by the devotion and the sacrifice they give to it. And let me just stop here and say this. We are in a generation today, we are in a church world today that basically have put God off as a spare tire. And when they need him, just like a spare tire, then they say, well, God, I'm gonna use you now that I need you. But there are a group of people, and I believe we have a group of people, there are a remnant of here at Rubyville that would honestly say, God is first place in my life. I have given him all my goods. I have given him my family. I have given him my life. I've devoted my life to him. I have sacrificed my life for him. And it, you say, Rabbi, how can you tell? I can tell because of your actions. I can tell by your devotion. I can tell by your sacrifice. It's much more than lip service. No, it's a life that we live in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. El Elyon, the Lord Most High. Glory to God. There was a rich man that was talking to a preacher one day, and he was having struggles in his life. And so he came to the pastor's study, and the rich man asked him to go outside and look out his window and look down and say, he told him, he said, what do you see outside your window? And he looked outside the window and he saw people playing in the street. He saw kids there walking. He saw people shopping. He said, well, I see people just going through their daily business and I see others doing what they are wanting to do. And he said, well, that's good. He said, now come over here and look into this mirror. So he looked into the mirror. He said, now tell me what you see. He said, well, I see myself. He said, exactly. He said, you looked through glass just a little bit ago, and the only difference with this piece of glass is that silver was added to it. And when silver was added to it, all you could see was yourself. And so the rich man understood that he was putting his worldly goods over the needs of others. And listen, anytime and put anything you want to in place of silver, it's whatever is ahead of God. God shall have no other gods before him. And when we put anything in front of him, he is not the Lord Most High of our life. And that's what he desires for us. So I want you to notice tonight just three things really quickly, and I promise I'll get you out of here quickly as possible. First of all, I want you to notice that Abram was blessed by God. He was blessed by God. The Lord Most High, he found that the blessings came from the Lord Most High. Now I want you to notice two things about this blessing. Number one, in order for him to have this blessing by God, he had to make a choice. The choice was presented to him, was it not? The king of Sodom came to him and said, here you go. You can have the riches of this world. And the king of Salem, Melchizedek, said, or you can have bread and wine. Now you say, well, Brian, there doesn't seem to be much of an argument there. I mean, most people would say the riches and the spoils, or you can have bread and wine. What's most people in the world going to take? They're going to take the riches because they're all about themselves. But Abram made a choice. He said, you know what? I'd rather take the communion over the riches of the world any day. I'd rather take the ministry of Melchizedek over the materials of Sodom. I'd rather have a relationship with the king of Salem as to have the riches of the world from the king of Sodom. You see, you understand what I'm trying to tell you. He had to make a choice. The king of Sodom said, you can have the riches, you can have the spoils, and you can take it home. But the king of Salem, Melchizedek, Melchizedek. Again, who is he a picture of? Jesus Christ said, you can have bread and wine. You can have a personal relationship with me. Oh, you know, some of you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. But thank God, Abraham had to make a choice. And he made the choice. I'd rather have a relationship with God than to have the riches of the world. I'd rather have communion with God than to have a name far above rubies. I'd rather have a personal walk with God than to have the wealth of this world. That's what he said. So you see the choice, but notice the communion. You say, well, Brian, how is it communion? Well, look what Melchizedek brought him. He brought him bread and wine. What do we serve at communion? Bread and wine. He said, listen, I don't have a lot of the worldly goods to give you right now, but I promise you, I can minister to you. See, what he did was when he offered him this bread and wine, he actually brought exactly what Abram needed. Abram didn't need wealth. He didn't need riches. He had everything that he needed. But what Melchizedek was offering him was he was offering him peace. He was offering refreshment. He was offering a strength for the weary. See, he just fought a great battle. He brought home spoils, but he brought his family back together. He just fought a great battle. He was tired and weary from the journey. And the king of Salem, Melchizedek, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, said, I can give you bread and wine. I can give you strength. I can give you nourishment. I can give you peace in the time of storm. Aren't you thankful that a long time ago you made the choice and said goodbye to the world and hello to Jesus, and you had a personal relationship with him? Glory to God. This is good preaching. Hallelujah. He wanted a personal relationship with him. Abram understood that the blessings that were going to come in his life were going to come from the Lord Most High. He understood that. And listen, there's no greater blessing in all the world than to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no greater blessing in all the world than to have personal communion with the Lord Most High. I don't know about you, but I haven't received a lot of riches and wealth in this life, and I don't think I ever will, but I guarantee this, it don't matter if I do or not. They don't matter to me at all. I'm perfectly content with what God has blessed me with, but I'll tell you this one thing, I won't sacrifice anything in this world in order to give up the relationship I have with my Lord Most High. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be healed. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be saved. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be going to a place called heaven that our pastor's been preaching about. I'm telling you, where would we be if it wasn't for the Lord Most High? A personal communion with him, no greater blessing. I talk about my family, my heritage a lot, and where I came from. And I'm not ashamed of them. I've come from a great line of Christian, just pillars of the faith. And a lot of how I act and a lot of who I am is because of them and how they acted. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing that'll scare me. I've been pretty close some searches, but because it wasn't of God. But anything of God, and it happens, it will not scare me. My grandpa Brown used to walk on his hands on top of the altar. He used to give mule kicks up until just a few years before he died. Uncle Freddie's still alive and kicking and doing well. Runs around the service. One time he ran around with a Christian flag and put an offering plate on his head. He was a soldier of Christ. He said, well, Brian, that's crazy. Yeah, but it was God was there, I'm telling you. Anyway, I didn't mean to say all that, but my Uncle Carl, maybe probably some of you knew him, some of you didn't. But my Uncle Carl Brown, my grandpa's brother, he was a great man of God, a great prayer warrior. And he attended some other churches when he lived in Peebles in Adams County. Then he moved over by Beach Fork up the Holler. And so he started coming back to Beach Fork. And it was great to have all the family back worshiping together there the last few years of his life. But one of my Uncle Carl's favorite testimonies, and one that I've held dear to my heart, my Uncle Carl loved to get alone with God. And my Uncle Carl had a communion with God like no one I've ever met before. He had a little table over at the flea market on Route 23. And they go there every weekend. I seriously think, Bub, that he just got used stuff and used hoes and picks and he'd call them antiques. But he'd sell them and make some extra money. And basically use them to go buy some bass fishing equipment and go fishing. But anyway, it's something he'd do. But he'd always talk about the Lord. He'd have his bibbed overalls and he'd go out and just sit back and testify. He drove a little Ford Ranger pickup. I'll never forget one time. He was going through a struggle personally. And he needed to hear from God. So he was driving from his house at Beach Fork and going over to Route 23. And of course, he was going up 348. They're just outside of Otway. And there's a hill that you go up. It's called Bloody Run Hill. And there's a reason why it's called Bloody Run Hill. And so he was going up Bloody Run Hill, and he was praying to God and said, Lord, I just need to feel you. I need confirmation everything's going to be okay. He just kept praying and kept praying as he was getting up higher and higher up Bloody Run Hill. Then he said as he topped the crest of the mountain, the sun was shining and it hit his windshield. And as he topped the crest of that Bloody Run Hill and crossed over onto the other side, he said it was as if Jesus Christ himself was sitting in the cab of the truck with me. And he said, and here's his exact words, I dare not look over because I knew I couldn't stand the glory. Amen. He said, but I felt him so close. And I've aspired and I've tried my best to live my life the exact same way. And I'm sure many of you have been in the exact same spot when you needed a word from God. You needed assurance from God. And you prayed and you sought his face. And all of a sudden a feeling came over you. You couldn't explain it, but you had a peace that passeth all understanding. I'll tell you what it is. It's a communion with God. And there's no greater blessing in all the world than to be blessed by the Lord Most High. Abram was blessed, blessed by God. Now look secondly at this. Not only was he blessed by God, but he blessed God. So he was blessed by God, but then he blessed God. You see, he did? Yeah, in verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. Okay, so first of all, he blessed the Lord with his mouth. He gave praise to God. Immediately, before he did anything else, he took time to praise the Lord. He just got out of a great battle. The enemies were defeated, and he said, I'm not going to take another step. I'm not going to go any further without first lifting my hands and with my mouth praising God for being the Lord Most High. He was a protector in the time of battle. He was a victorious warrior in the time of battle. He was there to lead and to guide us. And I'm telling you, folks, may we never forget before we do anything tomorrow. May the first thing off our mouth be praised to God, the Lord Most High. He brought you through another night. Now he's getting ready for you to take another week into living. And I'm telling you, folks, there is nothing greater than when God blesses us. But every now and again, we need to look to heaven and bless the Lord. So he blessed God, not only with his mouth, I've got to hurry, but with his materials. With his materials. We love to say that first part, don't we? But then we all get tied up here. And he gave him tithes of all. Say those words with me. Tithes of all. Say it again. Tithes of all. Say that last word. All. Say it again. All. One more time. All. Okay. You've got it. A tithe of all. He gave as an expansion of his blessing and joy. He desired to bless God more than his words. He wanted to prove and show by more than his words his desire and devotion to the Lord Most High. Listen, he tithed not because he had to, but because he wanted to. You say, well, Brian, tithing is part of the law. No, it wasn't. Tithing was before the law, and it'll be after the law. This was 400 years before the law was even wrote. So you can't tell me God is not the author of tithing. He is. He wants us to tithe. He wants us to, don't lose me. And I've come to realize, I read a quote this week and I thought it's very appropriate. A tither's problem is seldom a money problem. A tither's problem is seldom money. Most of the time, a problem with the tither is in his heart. Because really, his view of material things, Abram's view of material things was such that giving was already a joy. And his heart was fixed on blessing the Lord Most High. And listen, when we understand, our pastor preaches it almost every time we take an offering. When we take it, when we receive an offering, hey listen, we do it out of worship. We do it out of praise. We do it because we love the Lord. And how many times, it bears repeating this evening. Hey, God doesn't need our money, but we sure do need his blessings. And I'm telling you, it feels good whenever you give back to God, when he's just given you everything that you would ever receive. Every good gift and every perfect gift coming from him. And all he wants is just a little bit back. It's an expression of joy. It's an outpouring of love and devotion, saying, God, you didn't have to, but you did. And now in worship, I'm giving back to you. Amen. Amen. But notice, I had you repeat that. It was a tithing of all. He didn't just tithe his materials. He tithed his life. He tithed his devotion. Everything about him, he tithed. So many times we speak of tithing as giving our finances. But God wants more than your finances. He wants tithing of all. Amen. Amen. There's a new feature on the latest update on iPhones. It's called screen time usage. Can I have anybody's phone? Let me pull it up and see what your screen time usage was last week. It tells you, Tim, I know what his is. Sigh, right there. But it'll tell you how much time you are devoting to your phone. No, I know it's you. I'm not saying phones are bad, please. Don't go out here. No, but what I'm telling you is, what I'm preaching on is using your time. And I wonder if I take just a look into your life at your footage or on your screen time of the Word of God and the screen time of your prayer and the screen time of your Bible reading. I wonder if it will stack up with the screen time usage on your phone. Oh, man. I know it. Yeah. I may not be back next week, but I'm talking, God wants tithing of all. He wants your time. He wants your talents. And he wants your treasures. He wants it all. He wants it all. Well, let me move on because that's blessing you really good. He was blessed by God. Then he blessed God. But then finally notice, he belonged to God. He made the choice. I'd rather have the Most High God than the Most High goods. He understood he needed God more than anything in his life. Happiness and joy, listen, come from accepting nothing less than belonging to God. Nothing else matters in this life. He belonged to God Most High. He made the choice. When he told the king of Sodom, he said, I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latch. You know what he was saying? I don't even want the dust off the stuff. Take it back to where you came from. I don't want any part of it. But when it came to the blessings of God, he told the king of Salem, what you have is what I want. Because I know that if I'm going to get anything in this life, it's going to come from you. So I'd rather belong to you. I'd rather belong to the Lord Most High because the blessings are going to come from him. And when we understand, folks, the things of this world are going to fade, they're going to die away, and bless God, they're going to rust in the ground. But hallelujah, the blessings we receive from God, and when we belong to God, they will last for eternity. You can tell by a man's heart from where his treasure is. You know, it doesn't say where your heart is, your treasure will be. It doesn't say that. It says where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So wherever you put your emphasis and devotion and sacrifice in, that's where your heart's going to go. So I want to ask you tonight, does your heart belong to God? First of all, are you saved? Do you know that Jesus Christ has forgiven you and you're set free by the blood of Christ? Secondly, if you know you're saved, but God doesn't have you where you need to be and you're not with God where you should be, it's time to get things right with God. We're not messing around here. God's about ready to, I'm telling you, I tell you every week, we're about ready to explode in this church. And you either get ready, get prepared, or you're going to get run over. The Spirit of God is coming in this place. He's already here, and he's preparing our hearts. Not only is he preparing it for heaven, but he's preparing it for how to live down here. The Holy Spirit is here, and what we have here, what we are experiencing here, people are driving from all over to be a part. There's a church, I was just recently, remember I told you last week, I was down in Hamlin, West Virginia, last Saturday. And they're bringing a delegation from that church up here Wednesday night to be in service with you all. Because they just want to, they're hungry for revival. They want to see things happen. We just heard of it in Prestonsburg, Kentucky. We've been telling you about that. A revival went for over almost 60 days and 70 people were saved. There's another revival in Prestonsburg at Mead Branch Free Will Baptist Church. It's been going on now. They have been having over 30 saved, been going on for a couple of weeks. They're going night by night. People are being saved. Revival is happening. And I want revival to happen at Rubyville. And if you don't, then fine, you can sit there and die. But if you do, and if we're going to experience it, God has to be the God most high in our life. He's got to be first place in order for it to happen. Amen.